Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob R8XFT.
T Pangolin.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Hello and welcome to episode 67. I'm Scott Dirk, and with me today is
Rob R8XFT,
T Pangolin.
Today we're going to be discussing our thoughts on Civilization 6's come out, and
it's been crowning, it's been breached, it's out of the womb.
Yes,
it's been trudging around, kind of been puddling around for a week. We've just been kind of observing it, wondering to whether for us to go down the natural versus sort of nurture path, lovely newborn status, because sometimes it can have that newborn smell and, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Like a new car smell?
Yeah, it's the new game smell. That smells oddly like infant.
That might be new, but we've got the same old boys from the crew to guide you along here on the Modcast.
Also, not to be confused with Boys from the Crew, a very famous 1990s boy band.
But Boys from the Cast.
Yeah.
Boys from the Cast. Just sounds like a boy band from the Castaways from Survivor.
Well, Cutting Crew or something.
Cutting Crew.
We also have some questions from the community that we'll be discussing as well today.
I'm loving and adoring fans have embraced us.
Thank you so much. We're not worthy, but
we posted a form spring.
A lot of their questions were pretty much our questions as well, so it just shows there's some consistency with what people are thinking. How are we finding Civ 6? Have you got it, and how are you finding it?
I've enjoyed it. It seems to have had a better launch than Civ 5 did. I think there are good points and bad points, and I think overall, though, this has been a very successful launch. It seems to be a pretty stable game. I think the complaints are more of kind of minor quibbles, really, but I think there's valid points for both things.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the so-called mild quibbles do come out of base game ability to do certain things, but you also have to wonder, prior to release, there was a lot of dev presence within the community. I feel like there's been like a heightened presence, which is kind of nice to see Civ expanding to that level of regular discourse within the community, which is quite nice. Like pretty much everybody I know has talked to me about Civ now. I'm not saying it's like anywhere like Pokemon Go, but you know.
Yeah. I think that the difference between Civ 6 and any other Civ that's come before is the amount of the previous Civ's community that want to move on to the new game.
You get a lot of carryover from the I hate Civ 5 crowd.
Yeah, you know, there was all the, I hate Civ 5, I'm sticking with Civ 4, I hate Civ 4, I'm sticking with Civ 3, and so on and so forth. And particularly from modding community, it always seemed like every new Civ came with a brand new set of people doing it, and very few people coming through and moving on to the new Civ. And this is completely different, because this time round, we've got so many people that were experienced modders from Civ 5, really wanting to get involved with Civ 6 and straight away. And I think that's why there's so much focus.
Yeah, the people that want modding tools the most isn't the modding community. It's definitely the modders. Like, the modders definitely want to get their hands on it and really sort of pick up this infant child and decide whether or not they want to throw it to the beasts or nurture it at the modders' loving teat, which is completely metaphorical and not physical in any way. I didn't buy a harness from Amazon. They're not in Australia. That's illegal. Despite that, I just cannot wait for modding tools to come out. There is that large carryover community and a lot of people kind of riding on the success of Civ 6 to further their own creations and restrictions essentially breed creativity. Because of all the hype, because of all the previews, because of just the months of this prelude to the grand sonata that is Civ 6, and that is ridiculously aggrandizing. But at that point, a lot of people have just been waiting so long, not just to play the game, but just to mod the game. I think a lot of people, the first thing they did was try to mod it as opposed to try to play it.
Yep.
So the modding tools can't come soon, and so you kind of get this huge vocal minority that it kind of has like this teenage angst and this passive aggressiveness that kind of has an aura that permeates other sectors of society. Group uneasiness because they don't know how to improve the game that they really want to improve. And a lot of people are improving it. At this stage, it's kind of nice.
It's interesting. And also, I think this time round, given that there's a full screen image for the leader, given that there's a, like a circular icons, it would seem, I would think that as soon as those 2D tools become available, as soon as we can actually import them, people will actually back catalogue some of the Civ 5 stuff and say, even if it's just a filler for now, even if it's just a filler, they'll be able to say, all right, well, Jan, for example, Sukrutat, they've done such fantastic art. That will be just perfect for the Phoenicians last time, the artwork that Jan did. Why not have it this time? Yes, it doesn't quite match, but we're not going to wait and wait and wait for Jan to bring out an update. It's not fair on Jan, for starters. But that will do quite nicely, thank you very much. So all of a sudden, all these civilizations that were waited for years to be created are being created as soon as the 2D tools come out, I think.
I mean, we say that, and that's really fun. You have to kind of wonder what the level of modding tools that Civ 6 is going to produce. I doubt they're going to give us a civilization creator or anything like that. There's going to be, we've looked in the files and there's modifiers. JFD loves to moan about the restrictions of modifiers, and, you know, they present a lot of new opportunities, but obviously there's pros and cons to everything. But Civ 6 tools haven't come out, and we have heard that although the game rules have changed and it's a lot easier to mod, especially if you're an XML new modder, if you look through the code, compare like a Civ 6 mod to a Civ 5 mod, the difference between how it looks is the Civ 6 code is just quite pretty, in a sense, compared to Civ 5.
I was remembering in one of the interviews that they were doing, they were talking about the lenses, talking about, like, this is what we have for now, but if we need to add more, we can. It seemed to be that you could even maybe mod in a lens. That was the implication to me, that it was that open to additions. So even on that level, you can get mods in there. Would you want a lens?
Yeah, we'd hope so.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this stuff and a lot of these rules and a lot of the UI changes will be quite moddable, which is quite nice.
They are.
I like the lenses. Those are really useful.
The lenses are fine. There's just a lot of things about the user interface that I just don't believe click with the game at all. I think in Civ 5 it was interesting because you had that Art Deco style, which did look very sort of polished, but then there was like an obvious disconnect from the game. Like the game kind of felt like its own separate sort of two different art styles. One was kind of like this realistic, you know, figures on the ground that kind of didn't match with the Art Deco theme of the user interface. So when you have two elements of the game, both having the minimalistic sort of Age of Exploration interface, nothing is really sort of differentiating and everything just kind of blends into this kind of bland one. So if you look at like the tech tree, the bars are so far apart and the sections for each tech are very quite long, but there's only like a few like icons on them, but there's not any notices of what techs give envoys or what other sort of bonuses you get from mining or different improvements and all the sort of like, so it's like so many things in the game that you just get that you just don't understand. Like, there's no explanation of tourism, really. Like, it's like a very, very limited exploration of how tourism works. So you can be generating 8 tourism from the ancient era onwards, yeah, but you can't figure out where that tourism is coming from. Is it coming from your religion? Is it coming from the relics that you found? Or
it probably came from an artifact.
Not even then. Like, I didn't have any of that either. And it's just like, there's so many aspects that you just can't get information from. Like, if you forgot what your civilization traits were or your what your unique building does and stuff, you can go and check your leader screen and stuff like that, and that's really cool. You get to see yourself, but at the same time you can't right click or you can't click on any of your own civilization traits. You have to kind of go through to the civilopedia and search for it manually and then scroll down and figure out what your traits are, as opposed to just having them on hand really quickly that can be implemented just so easily. And just, it feels like for the past year or so, I think on the Firaxis website, they've been looking for a UI designer. So I'm not sure if that's telling or not.
I find the Civilpedia pretty quick and easy to look up stuff. I haven't had too much trouble looking up things when I was wanting to know. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a moderate probably working on user interface stuff, but I like the art style.
Yeah, art style's good. It's going to be fun to try to replicate lots of, I guess it's quite a restriction, which is good because restrictions breed creativity. So it's going to be good to use this sort of game as a baseline to see how much, you know, modders can improve it to make it. Because, you know, if you look at Civ 5, that had probably like one of the weakest launches in game history. And then it's probably one of the strongest strategy games out there. And then Civ 6 has that potential as well.
Yeah, I do find it very different strategy that you need from playing Civ 5. And I feel like there's a lot of things you can do. And Yeah, it's not always that telling. You have to, if you don't know what certain land features will affect your districts, for instance, you might not settle your city correctly and miss out on certain strategies that you need to do to.
Yeah, there's just such a wide variety of things that you can do, but none of them feels balanced.
I thought it was interesting that they chose Harald Hardrada to be the leader of Norway and not the Viking. Norway has never been an official civ before, so are we going to get another Norwegian leader? Maybe somebody a bit more modern.
It really depends, because for Civ 5, apparently leader screens were very, very taxing. Even for modders, users are going to be expecting more civilizations or more alternate leaders. I mean, it's pretty clear that we're going to get alternate leaders, but are we going to get alternate leaders at the expense of more civilizations, which could potentially cover new ground and promote certain peoples just and certain ideas that usually aren't seen in video games like these, kind of like Shoshone or Venice or the Zulu, something that's kind of fair and impartial and not aggrandizing and representative.
Yeah. I mean, we did get 3 civs that have never been in civilization before in this first initial vanilla version, because Norway is unique. It hasn't been there before. Yep. Congo's not been there before. Scythia's not been there before. So
there's a lot of interesting controversy surrounding the Congolese civilization. I find interesting. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts on it too. Basically, it's like we have this fantastic pre-colonial African civilization, the Congo, and it's something that people have wanted for ages, but a lot of people are questioning the fact that their leader's unique ability is that they can't found their own religion. In fact, they need a Western religion to kind of tell them how to do things. And sure, it's a really cool gameplay mechanic to let other religions sweep over your civ, but at the same time, having that as the only pre-colonial African kingdom and have their ability to be influenced by Europeans can be seen to have a lot of, you know, questionable implications from the community. Are those people reading into it too much, or are Firaxis just kind of not really caring about the fact that they do have power when representing these cultures and civilizations that people find very easy to mock?
Well, I do think they have a social responsibility, because we saw that last time with the Native American civ that they didn't put in.
Yeah.
But for me, what struck me with the Congo was, isn't that what JFD modded into Armenia last time, more or less?
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, well, I won't have the Congo in Anno Domini, but I might have Armenia in there. So there's a useful thing that I can use. But I don't know Congo well enough to know whether or not that was a good or bad choice for that. I don't know.
It's interesting, because there was a very, very justifiable choice for an alternate Congolese leader, which was Anna Nzinga. She led the Kingdom of Ndongo, but at the same time, you have leaders in there that didn't exactly lead their base civilizations. So using that as an excuse as to why that character wasn't in the game is a bit weak. So we have Gorgo, because she's famous for being in 300, and people love 300, right? And Zack Snyder and Man of Steel. So a lot of people are questioning the fact that although Gorgo does deserve to be in civilization on her own right, just based on, you know, you can argue it till the cows come home, whether or not she's been included for marketing reasons or historical reasons or both. But at the same time, there's a lot of valid arguments on both sides to say that Gorgo was included at the expense of other female leaders like Anna Nzinga, who justifiably deserved entry and representation on a scale that people would really respond well to.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised that Gorgo was in there. Maybe you're right, with the 300, she's probably a little bit more well-known than I'm appreciative. I think in the initial game, at least, to draw new people in, they're always going to use leaders that people know, which is why we've got Cleopatra in there, I'm presuming.
I think it's interesting that a lot of people question the validity of civilizations being in the game, especially with, you know, you have civs like Brazil. A lot of people saying it's just a marketing decision as opposed to them being worthy of an entry, where a lot of people don't know about Brazil's colonial and proud colonial history, and interesting and varied, and just because the standard of living in many areas of Brazil aren't exactly optimum, but, you know, you still have China and India in the game. It's only a matter of time, you know, in Civilization 47, they're going to have Australia in the game as like some sort of ancient civilization. It's just a matter of time before all these colonial nations become civilizations in their own right. I wouldn't be surprised if Australia gets in, but that doesn't stop me from making Australia or Canada in the way that I think would be justifiably inclusive. We already have so many complaints about the social responsibility that Firaxis has, so why not be that change we want to see?
These modifiers that GFD doesn't like I like them because if I put in a building, let's say, for example, I build a dyes merchant, and what it has to do is see whether or not there's any instances of dyes in the city limits. And if so, it'll get a bonus for the dye merchant. I would have needed to rely on somebody like JFD for some lure for that. But the modifiers actually do all that and check all that for you. So that is a big bonus.
Yep, I think the XML modder this time around is a lot more powerful. Granted, they know how to wield their newfound anime powers.
And the fact that Deliverator's already got going with some human units, that's going to be great.
Yeah, because finding 3D modders was pretty much the hardest thing in Civilization V. The number of people, not the level of people, but the number of people who are doing Civilization 3D art were kind of minimal. So in order to do unique improvements, you kind of had to rely on other people in order to further ideas or concepts. Because a lot of things were dependent on 3D art, and a lot of the times a lot of things that you want to represent aren't going to be available because you just don't have access to that art. But with Civ 6, there's a lot of new people going to be in the community once they see the level of modding is out there and what people are doing with the mods.
But you worked out what Deliverator's doing, right? It's not... actually doing the 3D search.
On multiple levels, there's just like all these new people within the community, but you can just create your own models on the fly quite easily because somebody's going to create, or Fraxis is going to release a utility program which allows you to create your own units in a very simplistic way.
Yeah, essentially you can say, right, well, we'll have a Greek swordsman's sword and a Roman hat and the tunic from a Viking or whatever, and just sort of fit them all in. That's how that works.
I'm going to be looking forward to putting female heads or putting some female bodies with some warrior units for the Vietnam Trung Sisters civilization that we're going to be doing first for Civ 6.
Yeah. And also, one thing that we're asking was, these units look very much like Civ 3 units, if you look at them individually. Potentially a similar size. So it depends on the tools that Firaxis come out with. I don't know if you're around in Civ 3 days, but there was... Utah Jazz 7 and Kimboat, who did a lot of add-ons for the Paper Doll character. And it's quite possible that those objects that they made would be able to be put into the Civ 6 unit.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't seem Civ 3 only use sprites for their units. Like, they had 2D sprites, but a lot of the times that the way that unit creators made these sprites was to create separate poser models or separate models in different programs.
Absolutely. So the models were created and then turned into sprites.
Because they tried to fit that Firaxis art style, but in turn they kind of provided baseline proportions that could be used as model bases for Civ 6 once you put like a new coat of paint on them. Because they not only did just the models themselves, but with the, you know, the kind of Civ 6 style proportions in Civ 3, but they also had some very sort of rudimentary animations that can be improved. Still quite a good start, and there's like some very, very interesting animations.
But even if it's just the objects that we can import, we've got about 100 or more objects there that are just waiting to be used, if they fit, waiting to be seen. But basic togas, basic weapons from all different ages is there, and it'd be great if those could be utilised again. When you look at the Civ 3 volume of units that were created, I think it's the most out of any civilization. Quite possible, with a good editor and people on board early on, that Civ 6 could reach those heights with lots of specialist units. That would be great to see.
It would be, but at the same time, it also counts on the entire Civ 3 community, or a lot of Civ 3 community members being able and being in a position to provide the models that they made for a game that is quite antiquated at this point of time.
Yeah. Although historical outfits are still the same. So if the actual models to fit the paper doll still will import and fit onto the Civ 6 unit, then they would be valid again.
So I'd like to even see modded natural wonders if people can, come up with their own.
Yep.
It seems incredible to me all the different things that you can affect on this game so far, and we don't even have the modding tools yet.
Well, I've done Anno Domini without modding tools. Very rudimentary, but the idea behind that was that it's there for a start for modders to see, right, well, it hasn't got everything in it, but it's got units and leaders and buildings, wonders, all sorts of things. It's got use of modifiers, so the hope is that people will pick that up more to actually look through it, see what I did rather than play it. I just want to play it great, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the Punt civilization that are created. Not necessarily the best civilization we'll ever see, but but at the same time, the basics are there for building civilization. So the thought is that people can pick that up and start changing things with it and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And hopefully that will help generate and foster some new civilizations and some creativity.
So yeah, that was another thing, getting variant leaders. Now we can have alternate leaders for each civ, how we have two Greece leaders now. And I'm wondering what leaders we'll get officially and what leaders we'll probably mod in.
Yep. I mean, it's a very interesting question because a lot of modders kind of don't like the thought or the prospect of doing a really nice mod, and then because it is, you know, the obvious thing to do that, of course, that somebody would do a Franklin D. Roosevelt sort of mod, and then Firaxis might do something similar. There's a lot of civilizations that are going to come down the line. For example, like India is definitely going to get an alternate leader. And Congo, if they don't get an alternate leader, I'm going to cry. If they don't get Anna Nzinga, I'm just going to be off in the corner. And somebody might have to look after me as if I'm a new infant. That's the theme of this podcast, by the way, infancy. Because we're all at that stage still, mentally. Anyway.
I think as well, it gives people the opportunity to create something different for the game without having right. The responsibility of creating a whole civilization. You can just create a new leader that throws a new slant on the game. It'd be nice to have the revolutions back from Civilization 1, and if a civ has got an alternate leader, to suddenly put them in charge of their particular civilization. Mm-hmm. I see that as an interesting thing, personally.
I did enjoy that from Civ 1. We would take somebody's capital, and suddenly their civilization would split into two, and then you'd have this new leader to deal with.
Yeah, but unfortunately, how that would work is that France is split into two, and suddenly become half of them become Aztecs.
Yeah.
Whereas, and then the two would be split, so they'd be weakened in a way, but still surviving because the capital had gone. My thought was, if you imagine a peace-loving leader running a particular civilization, and all of a sudden there's a coup and a militaristic leader comes in, you've got to change your diplomacy towards that leader. You know, he might have a different agenda that you need to be wary of, or whatever. Maybe that's something that someone could mod in if Phyrexis didn't bring it in.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt the amount of things you can do with alternate leaders is quite potentially exciting. You have to wonder, though, at what stage do modders make their own civilizations and not make alternate leaders? Because if you're making your own alternate leaders, sometimes you're going to want to be able to add in your own units. For example, would you have the Greek civilization, if you're going to add like a modern Greek leader, would you make them a part of that ancient Greek civilization and just add new units? So there's a lot of weird unspoken standards that some people are going to be biased towards or against if they're playing, you know, mods or creating mods. A lot of modders will just want to create their own civs from scratch, but a lot of the times they won't be compatible with other mods. So modders definitely have to keep in mind that a lot of players want their games to be modular, and sometimes that they might not want to play your particular entire re-envisioning of Greece with the modern Greek leader you envisioned. And that's something that I guess people have to accept. Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the Greeks are a great example, Egypt's another one, where there are very disparate civs in some regards. The Roman Republic and Italy is quite easy to split up, but seeing Greece with Plato's Republic as the unique ability just doesn't seem right for me personally. Yeah. I think modern Greece would have to be separate, and same with modern
Egypt. I reckon the way that Phyrexis is ultimately going to end up doing it, if modders don't do it and if it's not going to be really popular, is that the name of the civilization changes based on what civilization that you choose. So, for example, if you choose Greece and you have Gorgo as leader, then Gorgo's Greece turns into Sparta as the name. It still has the same icon, it's just a completely different name. So what you're going to be able to do is completely differentiate one civ from another just by the name alone and have that variability. High quality civilizations with 3D models are going to take, you know, quite a lot of effort to output, especially if you're going to go down that route. You want to make sure that Phyrexis just doesn't do a similar model to you so that your work is kind of undermined. So one, you kind of have to go out of your way to do something that Phyrexis will never do, but also provide voice lines and so many different aspects and do a lot of different research. So effort that needs to be output in order to achieve.
Be interesting to see how many of the modded civs that veterans of Civ 5 will do that are actually the same as Civ 5 and which they'll choose to change. So like the Dene that you did for Colonial Legacies wouldn't be the same without the drummer. So you'd imagine, right. You'd think, well, actually, do you know what? We really thought about that and we came out with a really cool Civ that worked. Are you going to just say, well, if it worked for Civ 5, there's no reason why it shouldn't work in Civ 6?
There's also fun in reinventing the wheel, I guess. Even if it is somewhat sturdy in Civ 5, there's always things that you're going to be able to improve upon. And it's good to use Civ 5 as kind of a baseline, as a starting point. And you can look at, like, okay, now because we have so many more tools available to us and resources available to us, hopefully, and this is being hypothetical, but if we do have the tools and the resources available to us, that there's no excuse. There's, like, no reason that a lot of people wouldn't be trying to create the best content that they can.
Yeah. I think as well, the other consideration that you'll have is, should I just go ahead and do the Civ now? Or, I'm not suggesting that anybody should wait 3 years, but presumably, if it follows the same plan as Civ 5 and the others, there's going to be 2 expansion packs, and there's going to be new, mechanics.
There's 4 DLC.
Yeah, there'll be DLC, but there'll be, I presume, 2 expansion packs.
Yeah.
You say, right, well, it's quite obvious that this Civ would work with the existing mechanics, but hang on, I'll wait to see what else they bring out. Or do you just bring it out the way you think, in the pace that you want to, but accept that, actually, do you know what, we're going to have to redo the Dene because know that this particular mechanic...
We had that kind of dealings with the Bison-related civilizations before Bison actually made it into the game, as opposed to being something that was only for the scenarios. But Bison got put into the main game afterwards, and we had to kind of redo that civilization. But it's also worth considering that modders, one of our benefits is that we get to stand on the shoulders of the giants and kind of look at what Firaxis have already done and look at what experienced modders have already done and kind of build upon that and create something transformative and new and justifiable. When you go and you choose what civilization you want to create, you want to do something that Firaxis just wouldn't cover, but you would also want to do it in your own way, because it's very easy to criticize, kind of hard to create. So it's kind of be interesting to see modders funnel their frustrations about the base game into content that is transformative in their own light, but also can be used at the same time as many other modders. A lot of people will be focused on delivering high content quality because just simply the tools are there and they're available.
Yeah, I just can't wait until the 2D stuff's available. I think as soon as we can do that, then people will start producing stuff, you know?
I'm going to be happy till the 3D stuff's... I'm going to be viewing when the 3D stuff's available.
Yeah.
Get to be very ridiculously ambitious with our 3D leader screens. What I hope that Firaxis does is kind of branch out to new areas that people aren't familiar with, because game developers do have this kind of ridiculous power. When you have something as mainstream as Civ, it'd be interesting for them to do Civ like France the way that they did, because it shows kind of a side of France that people aren't really used to, that people aren't really that aware of.
Yeah.
I really miss the world builder tools where you can create a map for like possible scenarios or just whatever reason you want one.
There's a rudimentary one that's already in the game. If you do a few things with Civilization 5 SDK, if you download that, you can use an application that Firaxis made called Fire Tuner, which allows you to screw around with the in-game world builder. Unfortunately, it's not the best, but it does allow you to paint things and then save the map. I think some people have figured out how to play it, but you're going to have to go on a mission if you want to figure out how to play a map that you've created. Definitely there. And somebody's figured out a way to convert pretty much Civilization 4 maps through to Civilization 6. It exists, it's just hard to get to.
I just wonder how compatible it's all going to be in the end, because one of the things that almost stopped me from putting the punt civilization up is people nagging me as the years go by to make it compatible with this, that, and the other mod.
I doubt it. Like, everyone knows that that punt civilization is a learning sort of stepping stone.
Thank goodness. But it does sort of raise that question, doesn't it, that how compatible are they all going to be with each other? And I think we'll have the same problems that we have in Civ 5, personally. I do.
Civ 5 modding is definitely still alive, planning of doing a lot more with it, especially up until like the Civ 6 modding tools release, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat. So
yeah. I'm looking now at sort of getting Civ 5 just over and done with, in a sense, with the Anagomite, and then I'll be just going for Civ 6 beyond that. I do still enjoy Civ 5, I like it, it's a great game, etc., but I'm looking forward to doing some new stuff with Civ 6, I think. It's going to be my focus from now on.
Definitely.
what sort of mechanics do you think you would like to see introduced into Civ 6 over the coming expansions, DLC, etc.?
I'd like to see satellites, the satellite layer from Beyond Earth. I enjoyed it, and I think we can do that in the modern era. That would add more for you to do in the modern era, as well as the late game, because I know some people feel like they're just clicking end turn. So if you had satellites that could help you get information or, you know, other functions, I think that would be fun.
Yeah. One thing I did notice about the game when I was modding it was that there's no buildings to build in the last era at all. So as a builder, it seems like buildings weighing out, sort of filter out over the last two or three eras. And I know you then go on to be able to get your spaceship ready or whatever, but for me, there seems to be a lack of buildings. But
I kind of want them to go in a new direction. The whole sort of Brave New World direction is fantastic, but what I love about Civ is to go to places that you kind of don't expect. I would like to see Revolutions come back again. I would like to see them do completely different things. I would like for them to kind of go through mods and just kind of pick out the best ideas for mechanics out there. Not necessarily the best mods out there, but the best, most sound ideas from mechanics that people have built. Because if you're adding a new mechanic, you're not just adding the mechanic in itself. What you're doing is you have to add like some sort of justification to the mechanic that you're presenting. So there's got to be a storied reason. There's got to be a representation, something that your mechanic is representing. So it'd be interesting to see if, you know, they go to places that just haven't been before, like migration, emigration, and just have different societal sort of functions that we're not used to in a Civ game, but it would make sense that they're in that Civ game.
I would like to see some sort of expansion between city-states and main Civs and have some thought. I know it'd require modding and probably not going to be able to do it, but it'd be great if a city-state could, over time, suddenly become a civilization. Or conversely, a civilization that's gone down and had most of its cities destroyed and becomes one city, becomes a city-state. It'd be nice to see barbarians be able to take over a city and actually start becoming their
own. I'd like to see them go into a direction of barbarians becoming less of kind of nameless sort of spook foes that kind of propel you through to the medieval era. It'd be interesting to see them flesh out the idea of barbarians and make them more justified. Because you have tribal villages at the moment, and are they supposed to be representing indigenous people of the land? There's a lot of a vague ambiguity around the place, so it'd be interesting to see if they could look at the mechanics that stick out the most and try to justify them as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, something I would like as well is permanent alliances for multiplayer. So you can end a multiplayer game with, you know, a teammate or something. I think we could use that again. As for the barbarians, I think there's a general sense of you need something in the beginning to be just like a threat to you. Beginning of the game, you're indigenous to the area too, so they're just these groups of people that aren't really coming together for national reasons. They're just raiding and pillaging and just being like highwaymen, and I think they maybe need to be redefined in a way to, you know, maybe instead of being called barbarians, they're just thugs or rogues or whatever, you know, something.
Yeah.
They're not really...
Brigands.
Yeah, they just don't care about society, and so they're just doing whatever they want.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see Civ go, you know, places that they haven't seen before. Maybe instead of having the initial threat be barbarians, they could just be the patterns that your civilization aren't used to. And the further you progress throughout the tech tree, the more of a handle you get on how to read the climate. And so these initial threats to how your people live and survive are going to be different. So you can have, okay, this area is prone to these natural events and this area has blizzards and these areas, you know, having kind of climactic sort of weather patterns would be something that'd be interesting and not done in civilization, because then what you could do is completely remove barbarians or make a different reason for barbarians to exist. But an initial threat, having it be the actual land itself. Of all the people that have come here before for us, essentially, it's a lot of them had to tame the land to so that we can live in the life that we do today. So in each different, you know, civilization can probably cope with the land in completely different ways and tame the land in completely different ways and understand the land in completely different ways. Be interesting to incorporate a system that isn't just purely societal, isn't opened up to ambiguous or vague senses of pseudo-racism.
I think, you know, just elaborating on what Alpha Shard was saying earlier on, I'd like to see some proper rules of engagement allowed. A Civ isn't going to just suddenly attack me, you know, or I could have the option that a Civ won't just attack me for no reason, or if we've been at war for literally 100 years... we're not going to be best mates straight afterwards, like what happens at the moment. So it'd be nice to sort of get some kind of consistency around that, I think. But then again, you know, some people do like the sudden attacks, I guess. But it'd be nice to have the choice as to whether or not you have.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I've been declared war on, before I've even met a civilization. I've been declared war within two turns of meeting another civilization, and sometimes you just don't understand anything. I guess it's the ancient era, but it's almost like, okay, I get to see your declaration of war screen, but it's like it doesn't feel earned. You didn't grind their gears enough. They're just kind of angry at you at this early on in the game for just reasons you just have no idea. That's more gripes about the game, though, as opposed to mechanics I'd like to see.
One of the things I think we can all agree on, which was an excellent mod, was the events and decisions.
There's a lot of required work.
Yeah. But yeah, not only that, but would they not do it purely because Universalis or something like that before? So they might think, well, it's...
I reckon you'd be better off going down the path of unique policy cards. There was actually an idea by one of the members of the community. Utilizing the policy trading system, or the policy trading card system, or collectible card system, for that matter, it'd be possible to add in a completely new layer of the game that makes Civilization into basically a trading card game.
Mm.
Where you can have, like, you know, attack cards and defense cards and trap cards. If you have each civilization gain their own access to unique policy cards unique to them, throughout the game they can use these unique policy cards, but at the same time other civilizations can steal those cards and interact with other cards and stuff like that. And, you know, it's possible to do these things, but with these sort of huge concept ideas, you've got to have lay a lot of groundwork. It'd be interesting to for Firaxis to expand on the policy card system to make it into, like, some sort of interactive Yu-Gi-Oh! Adventure.
I do like the idea of unique cards. That's a very good idea. I'm not so sure about in not being able to take other people's unique cards, but something that...
There's also the idea of adding, like, interesting cards that kind of, like, chaos or sort of intriguing cards that add things that add kind of a moral dilemma for the player. So in exchange for plunging your empire or certain sections of your empire into, you know, having negative traits, you could increase crime in a certain area in order to get, like, a certain result. You could have all these different unique policy cards, or not even unique policy cards, but add kind of policy cards that add in moral dilemmas. Want to allow stem cell research or geothermal energy, or are controversial within your own empire, so that certain sections of your empire wouldn't function as well. A gameplay reason to do it, but you also kind of have, like, a moral reason, like, oh, do I really want to be going down this path?
Possibly. You could do it just slightly differently. So instead of having extra cards, it could have a unique card or two that just gave the same advantage, only a little bit better. So instead of serfdom giving an extra two charges for builders, they got an extra three or an extra four. Yeah, I can see that working.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we can mod in this game, and so I'm looking forward to that, and policy seems like a nice idea as well.
What would make me, and I'm guessing a lot of other people, more content would be the ability to have some sort of level of discourse with the Firaxis team to say, hey, look, things are on the way, and some knowledge as to when patches and things are coming out. Because right now there's a lot of promotion, but there's not a lot of questions about balance and the future. I mean, it is still an infant, so you have to wonder if Firaxis is understanding and knows a lot of the questions and concerns of the community and how well they're keeping an eye on it. Like, would they even be listening to this podcast? Who knows?
Indeed.
He's going to stroke our egos now if they're not listening. I'm not being, like, unnecessarily pessimistic or anything. There's a lot of concerns out there. The potential for a bright future, but at this stage it's still potential. There was potential for Civ 5 and it blossomed into this beautiful red flower, which is not euphemistic in any way. But Civ 6 hasn't bloomed yet, so we don't know the direction. And I think that lack of discourse is making a lot of people uneasy. I mean, I'm speaking in hyperboles here, but it's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
It's out there. How would you feel if Firaxis said we're not going to create Mod Buddy this time? Just upload it. Just edit some XML files, add your art, and chuck it on.
I don't think that's feasible in any sense of the word, because Firaxis knows and loves mods themselves. I mean, they know it looks really good if they treat their mod as well. But also there's, you know, a certain amount of respect that they have for modders, and they realize that the community does do things to further the creation and purchases of their games. So, you know, modders do increase longevity in a sense.
Yeah, but I mean, going back to what I said, I created the Anno Domini, although it'd be a very basic sort of mod without any tools. And it actually worked, and I didn't mind doing it that way. Got Notepad++. And just typed away.
I guess a lot of people approach modding from completely different angles, and then right now the tools that we have at the moment, being none of them, what you're left with is a subsection of modders that have a lot more power over other sections of modders, because some people just don't know how to adapt to a situation in which they're not giving an API or instructions in order to use.
Yeah, maybe so. One last question I've got then is, okay, we're going to have, presumably, if there'll be a couple of expansion packs, we've got another 20 or so Firaxis civs to come. Which civ would you most like to see come in and why? And also, second question to go with that, which civ do you think was missing from the original set that you would have expected to see in vanilla and wasn't there?
I know from the intro video, they show the Hussars, so I'm pretty sure we're going to see Poland. And I really liked, when they introduced that civ in Civ 5, I really got attached to that civ. So I will definitely look forward to seeing them. I don't know if there'll be a DLC or an expansion pack. Civs that I've missed are definitely Shaka. I always like facing him. And Mongolia, that was the very expected one. Usually he is vanilla, but I guess we're having Scythia instead. But I don't know, we'll see. Maybe they'll introduce him in DLC as well.
Yep, I expected Persia to be in the base game, but I guess...
That was my one, that was my two.
You expect Persia to be in the game, but then you also have Sumeria as well, I guess, as bridging the gap between the Fertile Crescent and any sort of Iranian-Persian civilization. So I guess that's somewhat justifiable, but yeah, Mongolia, I was kind of surprised that that wasn't in the game. There's lots of civilizations that you can pretty much say that were missing.
Korea, that was the other one.
I think that's more of a DLC civilization, if anything.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the same time, I kind of want Firaxis to really do a civilization that they haven't done before. Do what they did before with the Shoshone and Venice. Make sure that they expand the boundaries of what civilizations can be to them. So I kind of really want to see them do like a Pacific Northwest culture one. So like the Tlingit or the Haida, Dalish would be, or the Chinook would be an amazing sort of peoples to represent. Even with an Australian Aboriginal mod, that would be fantastic. I mean, I don't want them to do anything like the homogenous disaster that was the Native American civilization before.
Yeah, I think I'm tired of umbrella civs.
Yeah.
Pick a specific country and do that too.
Not even a specific a specific people. So if you're going to do like an Aboriginal civilization, you would want to do a specific peoples, because I guess what that implies is that Australia pre-colonialism was very nuanced and diverse, which is completely the truth. So it'd be interesting to see them represent and go to places just because they can. The tools are there. There's no reason that you should be doing something that doesn't have research attached to it.
I agree.
For me, I was surprised too that Persia wasn't there. And whilst there is Sumeria, I saw them as a replacement for Babylon more than a replacement for Persia. So hopefully they'll be along soon. The civ I would most like to see is Illyria. I think that is a game that was in the original Avalon Hill civilization. I think it's a very unique type of civ. It represents an area of Europe that isn't really very well represented as far as I know. But also, I think with Illyria, there's that ancient piracy kind of game that could come out. And I don't think they've got anybody that's like that. They've got other civilizations that have been a naval civ, but not so early in the game, and I think that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely just kind of want to see Firaxis branching out. They said they had plans to make True Start location more balanced, but it's just you kind of hope that those plans aren't so basic.
The version that I got, which was the 25th anniversary one, it suggested that there were 4 DLC that were coming out that you got for free.
Yeah.
So.
Right, yeah. You just have to hope that they're not just map packs.
Yeah. I was thinking that maybe they'd bring one out before Christmas, because that would be a good commercial thing to do. And it would match what they did with Civ 5. So with Civ 5, they obviously brought out the game at much the same time, around about late October. And we had the Mongol and the Babylon Civ pretty quickly, DLC. And I guess that equals Aztecs.
Yeah, you kind of have to wonder if they're doing something similar. You'd hope so.
I know that it was much maligned, the DLC model, but I actually quite liked getting a new civ every couple of months. It was nice. Yeah. But that was before, of course, we had all the modders creating civs, so maybe it's different.
Yeah, I am really excited to see where the level of modding goes.
How long before we see a battle royale in Civ 6, I wonder?
We've already figured it out. We're already creating it. the autoplay functions are very sort of rudimentary. And in Firaxis' stream, they had an autoplay function where it kind of went around to different battles, but unfortunately we don't have that ability, and there's only 19 civilizations. So what my initial plans were just to make, you know, a whole bunch of copies of the Punt Civilization mod and just rename them and recolor them and just put them around the world and see what would happen. It was relatively successful. I wouldn't call it a grand success, but I just don't have the compute power in order to pull something ridiculously that well off. It's definitely possible. I think most of my hours in Civ 6 have been running AI games as opposed to playing the game, trying to understand how to deliver something that is quite watchable.
I like the music is really good, and it's nice to hear, you know, Sean Bean narrating science texts.
Sean Bean and also the lady that one of the advisors, they're both from Yorkshire, or I've got a Yorkshire accent, so maybe I can voice some of my own tech things for Anno Domini. I'm a bit too far away.
Thank you for joining us for Modcast episode 67. With me was
Rob R8XFT.
T Pangolin.
This has been a really good episode where we discussed the Civ 6 release and the mod capabilities.
Thank you. Goodbye.
R.I.P. Bye.
Alfshard, you never do the introductions. Do you want to do it this time?
Okay, what episode are we on?
Well, that was my next question. What are the main changes you expect or want in the first patch?
I don't know.
I don't know what I want them to change, to be honest with you. Not in a patch.
A bit of a bathroom break in a bit. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
So, yeah, kind of lost my train of thought. Can edit that one out, Dan.
With me was
Rob R.
Nice. You go first.
Okay.
And what else am I supposed to be saying? I can't remember.
That's it.
That's it.
It is the nature of humankind to push itself toward the horizon. We test our limits. We face our fears. We rise to the challenge and become something greater than ourselves. A civilization.
Date November 5th, 2016.
Civilization 4, 5, and 6 sound clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.